This record feels like it's got way more depth. I mean, it was born out of heartbreak. And he's like, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a dentist.
Been an idiot. It finally clicked who he was.
A week later, he phones me up.
Hell, the November 5th for the Opry.
And I was like, what?
I would love to make history and be the first British female to ever have an American country number one.
Twins in the studio. What's going on, Twinny?
What's going on, Zach?
Why are we crying?
Well, I'm not crying now, am I? But
no.
I just had like about 4 mental breakdowns today. My album comes out on Friday. I'm very stressed. Obviously, you know, I'm independent. It's a lot of work. And I'm chasing my tail. I've been up since 6.
Why are we crying?
Morning.
Are we worried that this record's not going to do everything that we hope it does?
No, I don't expect this record to do anything.
So then what's the, why are we upset? There's no pressure then. What's the expectation?
No, there's no pressure. It's just the pressure that I put on myself. I there's a lot of like check boxes that I need to do. And I don't have any time. I don't have any time to do them.
But what, hold
on. I haven't even eaten today. My stomach is crumbling.
Hold on. First of all, we don't really believe, we can't feel that this record's not going to do anything. Why are we putting the record out then?
No, I don't mean, I have zero expectations. I mean, hypothetically.
Why do you do that? First of all, Twinny, this is a great record.
Thank you.
I was listening to this record all morning.
Thanks.
It's a great record.
Thank you.
Why are we so confident this isn't going to do anything?
I didn't say that.
No,
I don't have any expectations, you know?
Why? Because have you gone into projects before with big expectations and have they not been met?
No, it's just different this time around. This record feels like it's got way more depth and it's a lot more... I mean, it was born out of heartbreak. There's, you know, it's been a 2-year period. There's 22 songs on that album because it was the year 2022.
It's a lot of songs for an album.
It was a
big
chapter.
Worried when I started listening. I said, oh, these are a lot of songs to listen to.
But you like them. There's no fillers.
There's no fillers.
There isn't.
Well, yeah. I mean, we could talk off air about the fillers, but... No, this is a good record.
Thank you.
So, wait. This record came from 2 years of heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? Because your boyfriend fucking broke up with you via email.
And you know this story.
And 10 years, you spent 10 years with this guy.
Yeah.
And one day he just sent you an email and he was out of your life.
Yeah.
What a great concept for a record. What? Is that how the record came together?
I was just like coming back and forth to Nashville. Like the headlines, the trauma. Here we are.
Give me the headlines.
The headlines were I got dropped by my label in 2022 in the August. Then I got dropped by him. I didn't know who the fuck I was. I was like, what do I do? I've been coming back and forth to Nashville. I knew that this place like fulfilled my soul and I loved it and I could be creative here. And I needed a new life, so I moved. So this chapter is about the last 2 years of me trying to, like, find myself and, something we used to say kind of just sums up that breakup. It's basically the last 2 EPs that I put out with 10 new songs. And I'm going on tour, so I wanted an excuse to, like, I haven't put out another album since... Well, since my first one in 2020, which also it was in the pandemic. So this time it just feels kind of different. Like I don't have any expectations. It felt like I made the record purely just for me as a healing process. And hypothetically is like great. It's been played on the highway and that's been like cool to see. But also I didn't have any expectations of anything. I just like set out to make the best music. And really, I wanted to dig in more on, like, I feel like the last 2 years have really helped my writing and, like, my style and who I am. And, like, I don't know, definitely, they're all kind of, like, different vibes, but they're definitely me.
Was the label providing services that now you have to do entirely on your own? Or was the label not doing anything?
Well, I don't want to shit talk anybody. We're not going to do that, Zach.
No. But I'm trying to understand where the stress is coming from on this album. Why are we panicking?
I think it's just, you have a bigger team. You have a bigger team. So everything...
At the label.
Yeah. Everything that you see, like shows, booking... putting like making canvases for you, like on Spotify, one-liners, like... It's a lot of work, especially for like 22 songs, which I'll never do again. But
why did you have to put 22? Couldn't you have done 15 songs and a bonus 6, 7?
Well,
is that how math works?
Yeah, I mean, because I'd put out 2 EPs of that Blue Hour, like chapter.
I had to put
them all together and close the Sad Girl era once and for all. I was like, I am done. I'm done with being like Sad Girl. So hypothetically, it's kind of a good segue into this next record that we're working on called Happy Hour.
I love the song Hypothetically.
Thank you.
On this album. This is my fantasy because I can't get anyone to go out with me. Is that what this song is about?
That is not true, Zach.
You actually,
I have been with you. I've been your hype woman.
I was going to bring that up because you've actually done pretty well for me.
Yeah.
But that's a fun song. I was very worried on the music video because I was watching the music video this morning. I said, I thought she's going to fall off this car. She's riding on the hood of a car that's going down the street and she's dancing. And I was worried you were going to fall off it. It didn't feel very safe to me.
Yeah.
But it's a very fun song. One of the more upbeat songs on the album.
Mm-hmm.
What was this written about? Something you wish you could have done? Was this something you thought about, or was there a guy that you wanted to ask out hypothetically? Yeah. Is that what this?
It was about a crush.
It was about a crush. Was it someone specific, or was it?
We don't need to talk about specifics.
Well, just tell me. You don't have to tell me who it was, but was there a specific person that you wrote that song about, or was that just an idea you had in the writer's room?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why are you blushing? Nobody even knows who we're talking about.
I know. But
nobody even knows who this is.
I'm kind of lost in that feeling again. But
hold on. So who'd you write that song with?
Grace Gunn and Reed Sorrell.
So
what was funny about that song is like I was a co-writer, obviously, but like I was like the top liner in that session for Grace, who's amazing. And I was just, she had the title and we were writing it and I was like, I kept going back to the demo that she did, not I didn't do it. And it was the last day before I was leaving to the UK that we wrote that song. And I got back and I was like, this song really sounds like something that I would sing. So I called Grace and I never do this. I'm like, hey, do you think I could like put this song out? And there was such a quick turnaround. I think we wrote it in August and it was out in this September.
Wait, why would you not have been able to put it out? Was someone else going to do it? Or
Grace is an artist.
Oh, Grace is an artist?
Grace Gunn is the artist
Grace,
that we were writing
So you were
for.
Writing for Grace Gunn.
Gunn.
Why would she give you this song? It is such a great song. She gave you a gift.
She did. But I mean, still, she can still put a version out herself. And also, like, she had a song that she was releasing.
But this was about a guy. You wrote this about a guy that you were having a crush on.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So it meant...
And she had, like, the same kind of, like, thing going on. So, yeah, we both had inspiration.
This is such a sexy song. Were you turned on writing this? You're envisioning this guy to take your dress off in the opening lyric. Oh my God. This is a sexy song. Hypothetical.
Well, the beat's being like crazy and sad in all my other ones. I feel like we needed some like light relief. I am fun though. I'm pretty positive. And the last 2 years I've been like real sad girl and down on myself. So I'm like, no.
You are positive.
Thanks.
I can't get over this story about how you made your Opry debut because Jamie Johnson really vouched for you. I can't get over
Not
this.
Just him. That it wasn't just
it
him.
It wasn't just him.
Wasn't just him.
Who else? Leslie Fram?
A few agents actually in CA and WME.
But hang on.
Like, there was a lot. Bear in mind, I'd been with a label for, like, 6 years, and...
Wait, but my impression of this story was that you were backstage at the Opry with someone else?
No. You got it wrong.
I got it wrong.
Raina...
You're going to fire my research team.
Raina Roberts.
Yeah, I love Raina.
We were at her release party, and I stand next to this guy, and I walk in late, and you know me. I'm like, you know, get there. And I'm like, all right, yeah. I don't know who anybody is. I never know who anybody is. Like, no. So, I know his music.
Is that your biggest strength?
What?
That you don't know who anyone is.
Well, I know his music, but I didn't, like, you know, he's got a beard everything now. Like, it's been, you know, like, anyway, That's by the by. So we get chatting and he's like, what do you do? And I'm like, I'm a dentist. I'm just like being an idiot. And I, slowly but surely, all these people keep coming over to him and I'm like, oh, he's a big deal. Oh, he's like a music industry exec or like, and I should know him, or a really famous like artist or producer. And I had no idea. Anyway, it finally clicked who he was. And he was like, so what really do you do? I was like, well, I'm an artist.
You go,
obviously.
Oh, crap. This, I need to tell this guy what I do because maybe he could help me.
I don't look at people like that, though.
No, but you, but then you found out he was an artist and then you said, I got to cut this game. I'm not a dentist.
No.
I'm an artist.
He was like, no, you're not a dentist. And then I was with another friend, Abigail Virginia, and she was like,
you're not a dentist.
You're being an idiot. I was just like, you know, I like to be here for comedy morale. I just like to make people laugh.
And also, when I'm in Ubers, people try to ask me what I do. And I usually say,
yeah,
I
that's what I do
insurance.
All the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
You thought. Well,
I am an actress.
Well, it's not fun because it's not. I don't do it because it's fun. I don't tell people we work in music because then they always go, oh, you work in music. Like,
it's interesting for like, I won't say normal people, but people outside the industry. Like, it's interesting because they love entertainment. And I think like I don't think I've ever been a kiss ass. That's just not my style.
Yeah.
Like, I like to get to know people. Like, we're not here for very long. Like, nobody's ever going to remember in 150 years what we did. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all about...
Speak for yourself. What? I think they're going to remember what I did, but...
Maybe you.
That's
maybe
fine. Keep going.
Only you. Just only you.
That's
not Taylor Swift. Just you.
Well, hold on. There's a lot of time left, but okay.
But I'm like, yeah. I'm all about, like, how you make someone feel. That's what they remember. And... anyway, we got chatting, like, on a human level, and he was like, so, and people all the time ask me about my accent, you know, and then I'll do that, y'all, I'm so thankful to be here, you know, like, and they'll laugh, and we started just chatting about life, and I said, I've just moved here, and he's like, oh, that's cool. I said, yeah, I'm an artist for my sins. And he said, oh, well, you have to send me some stuff. And he was like, what are your goals? And I was like, well, I'd love to, like, play the Opry before, like, my mamam and granddad pass, who are 89 and 90. I said it'd be my dream to fly them over. Do you know what I mean?
But
like,
because they actually listened to the Opry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. On the they didn't actually get over because my grandma was too sick. But they actually, yeah.
No, but I mean, they knew about the Opry.
Oh, yeah. They knew. Yeah, they were big country music fans. Like,
it would have meant something. Or
yes.
It was going to mean something to them.
Yeah, a lot of like Romany Gypsies, that's how I grew up. They listened to a lot of country music and folk music. So yeah, of course they knew what it was. So he took my, I sent him my music, and then about a week later, he phones me up and he goes, I can't even do it. He's like, how about the November 5th for the Opry? And I was like, what? Sorry, what? I was like, you joking? He was like, no. I was like, I know. I was like, fuck off. Are you joking?
Wait, but hold on.
I didn't mean to curse at him, but I was like, oh my God.
Hold on. I think, look, you are giving credit to a lot of supporters like Leslie and the agents. And these are amazing people. That've probably done a lot for you, but I think Jamie Johnson got you onto the Opry.
Yeah, he did.
He did, right?
He did. But it was supported by the fact that like all them other people had already previously, like, because he was playing that night, and you know, he was just like an amazing person, and like he just did a lot for me. He made my dream come true, and he's such a nice guy. He invests in people. He doesn't. Like investing companies.
I can't believe he did that.
Yeah.
That blows my... No one's ever done anything like that for me. No one's ever done that.
Hey, I was your hype woman.
My what?
I was your hype woman when I nearly got you that date.
You did nearly... Hold on. Hold on. I have a lot to talk about here, and we don't have a lot of time.
I don't think you can talk... I don't want you to put this on air.
What?
I don't want you to say this, but just... Like, Jamie.
Wait, put what? What you're about to say?
What I'm about to say. Don't put this on air.
Well, don't say it.
Okay, fine.
Well, what are you going to say?
I'm going to do it afterwards. No, it's just that, yeah, I want to say a nice thing that Jamie did.
Why can't we put that on air?
No, I don't want to.
Can we not put it on air because you don't think he would want it on air?
Yeah. It's
private.
But he did something for you that was really nice.
Yeah. Amazing.
That was bigger than the Opry.
On the same level. Yeah.
I can't get over this guy. I got to meet this guy.
He's just an
I need a Jamie
gentleman.
Johnson in my life.
Everybody does.
Everyone does. Wait. What was your first job? Your first job in the industry was working for Brian May?
Yeah.
Doing what?
I did a musical theater job called We Will Rock You.
And it was what? Was it a show he did? Or?
Yeah. All we hear is Lady Radio Gaga.
And did you work with him or did you have any interactions with him?
Yeah, he gave me the job. And then.
What do you mean he gave you the job?
He was at the audition table watching. How'd
you win him
over?
Dance,
sing, act. Yeah. You just go in for an audition, don't you? And then you sing your song. You're like, I don't know. I can't remember what I sang.
And did you interact with him at all beyond that? Did he get you on the Opry or did he do anything?
No, he didn't do that.
Oh, God.
No, but he is amazing. And that show is incredible. And then, yeah, I did a lot of musical theater and TV and film and danced for other artists, backing dance, backing sang a lot. I've had like a very like weird career. It's been very, like, diverse.
What does it
diverse.
Mean that your family is Roman Gypsy? What is
Romany.
That? Romany.
Romany
Gypsy.
Gypsy.
I'm not... What
it's
is,
like a... How do I describe it? It's
what
like,
does that mean?
It's like an ethnic... It's like kind of like... I describe it as a... It's like you're only a gypsy if it's like by blood. Do you know what I mean? By blood.
Sure.
But what are you saying? Like, what do you mean? What
but
is
that?
Gypsy?
Is that?
It's like a way of life. It's.
Is the, but it's a way of life by that you can only acquire by blood, or no?
I mean, you can be. Like you can marry into it, but like what makes you like a gypsy is by blood. I guess it's like being Jewish. You can only be Jewish if your mom's Jewish, right?
Sure. Yes. But what is? So your dad.
Is a Romany gypsy, and my mum is a Gorgia, which means non-traveler in Rumnus, which is a gypsy language.
But what do you mean when you say traveler? What does that mean?
Same thing as gypsy.
Is what? Are they... But what do you mean?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
I can't be the only one.
So
the
way that I grew up...
How'd you grow up?
Is like, we lived in a house.
Yeah.
Right? Then my dad would go like to Europe, find work, roofing and building, whatever he was doing. And then he would come back for the family, take the trailer, the caravan. We would go over to Germany.
So you grew up in a trailer or?
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
In like a mobile home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, have you seen Hollywood Gypsy? If you see it on
there,
like my music video shows you all clips of how I grew up.
Where was that? Is that on the new record?
No.
Oh my God! You only sent me the new record.
Yeah, well, you should have done your research then, Zach. How
I always do my research, Twinny. Wait, I'm fascinated by this. Okay, so you live. So he would come home, and
he would go out and find work.
Yeah.
Right? They're like nomads. They travel around, and like he would go to Europe, come back for his family. Then all of us would go in the caravan. And he would work and we would like be homeschooled or like play on like the caravan park. And all my cousins would come with as well. So my uncles would go. My granddad would go. It's very like conservative, that like lifestyle in terms of like the men provide and the women's like places in the home and they look after the kids. I would say for me, like the reason I'm so big on being absolutely myself and being authentic, like, you know, there's like a mold that you have to sometimes fit in Nashville. I don't fit that. It's fine. I'm good with me being me. I actually like myself. I think I'm all right. And I think why I'm so passionate about that and instilling that in other people, one, because I think it's your superpower and there's no one like you and there never will be. That's something worth celebrating. So why would you want to be anybody else? But secondly, I was always kind of like caught between these two worlds of like, well, what do I want to be? A gorger, which is a non-traveler, or a traveler? Like, what life do I want to lead? Do I want to like get married young at 19 and have babies and, you know, travel around?
That would put you on the gorger path.
That would put me on the traveler path.
Oh, what?
Yes.
What?
They all get married young.
Oh, that is the traveler path.
Yeah.
How are you getting married young and then traveling? That's...
I mean, that's what they do.
That's what they do.
That's what they do.
That puts you on the traveler path. The Goja path. I'm not doing any of this right.
This is amazing. If any travelers are watching this, I'm going to teach you some rumness.
No, but this is coming from a genuine curiosity, and I'm trying to understand. The other path, say it again. I'm struggling here.
So a Gorgia.
Gorgia.
Which means non-traveler.
A Gorgia path would mean, that's the path you're living.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like career-orientated. I mean, like, it's not to say that some Gorgias don't get married young also, but like my career was always first. But definitely if I'd have chosen to, like, you know, go the gypsy route, I probably would be married by now and have 3 babies.
But that's not the 20 path.
No.
20's out here in Nashville.
I'm trying to make history, guys.
How are you going to make history? I think you could do it.
They're
going to remember you, 20. They're going to remember both of us. We might be the only two
people. I'm not famous, but I'm infamous.
We might be the only two people they remember in 400 years.
Yeah, maybe.
How are we going to do it, though? How are we going to get there?
I don't know. I mean, I made history at the Opry by being the first British Romany Gypsy, which that was cool.
There you go.
And I really love to be a good role model, or just to prove that you can do it. Like, to say I've been here a year and a half, it's like a lot of things I've ticked off, which has been amazing. And I mean, I know this is probably a pipe dream, but I would love to make history and be the first British female to ever have an American country number one. But I do realize that that takes money and marketing and a big old team. And I feel like in the process that I'm in now, it's like, you know, I'm grinding every day and I have to kind of make it myself before people pay attention to me. I feel that's where I'm at the minute. So, and that's fine. I'm just trying to level up, and I think that's why I get stressed, because I put pressure on myself, because I do want things to like be perfect and be a success, because there's been a lot of work and a lot of, you know, heart put into this record, and I want it to be presented correctly and things not go wrong. But yeah, like that in itself is like a whole navigation of like being a CEO of a company. You know, you're trying to like navigate people, and like even when you get frustrated, that's why I tend to have like a mental breakdown to myself, cry, wipe it off, and then we can start again and breathe. But I believe that anything that is for you will pass you by. And when you've got a desire in your heart, I'm a big energy person, and I feel like it already exists. It already exists, just on a different timeline. That's why you want it. So I'm just trying to become it and be it, and like let it go, let the expectation go, and the timeline. Like I'm done putting my life on a timeline. Like, oh, I need to do this by this point, or I need to be married by this point and have kids by this point. You know, like life isn't like that. So I'm just trying to like be in the flow. And then when I am, like, great, great things happen. And they have been happening. And I'm very grateful. I feel in a very grateful state right now.
How'd you make this record independently?
So a lot of my masters, I split with my producers. And then, like, say if I got signed, we have, like, a production agreement that, like, they would get their full fee. I have done things on A Wing and a Prayer and a Shoestring Budget. Like some of my videos, like I've called in a lot of favors. Like
there's no safety on that car. I was so worried in the hypothetical music video that you were going to fly off the hood of that car.
You know, we did that video in 40 minutes.
40 minutes.
And shout out
to
Joey Schroeder, who's been my creative director, who's just been amazing and like worked just as hard as me and just got, he's just like taken a lot off my plate. But I learned how to edit music videos.
Did you edit that video?
In the hypothetically?
Yeah.
No. He did. But I did edit Just Like Earl, Dance With Somebody Else. What other ones did I put out? Lonely Long. Yeah, I've edited quite a few.
This record sounds great. I think it sounds, you know why? It doesn't sound... Some of the records that come out sound very compressed and kind of thin sounding. And this record sounds really full and really warm. The production quality of it.
Shout out Chris Raffetto and Barnabas Shaw.
These guys, I'm not even joking. I really thought it was a really good sound record, and you sound great on it.
Thank you.
It doesn't even sound like you, because you know why? Because you don't sing with an accent.
Oh, why? I thought you were like, it doesn't even sound like you. That's not your singing voice.
Why don't you sing with an accent?
I just, because
it wouldn't sound right, right?
No, it wouldn't sound right.
Do you naturally just sing without an accent?
Hypothetically speaking, maybe if we messed around and caught feelings. No, get away. No. I've got a theory.
Yeah, give me a theory. No one, because Keith Urban doesn't sing with an Australian accent.
Yes, but listen. When you're younger, everything on TV is American.
Yeah.
All the cartoons, everything. And then I did musical theater and I'm an actress. I have to sing in different voices. I have to act in different voices. But I will say, I don't think I sound American. Maybe on some words, but I just feel like I round off what's here. Do you know what I mean? I don't blame you. I never will do. It's not like I don't feel like that's American.
Yeah.
I feel like that's me, but I'm just rounding off.
Did you really work at singing, or have you always been able to sing?
I've never had any singing lessons.
Really?
No.
How do you know how to sing?
I think some kids, it's just in them. There's a video of me of 9 months old and I'm walking and I'm singing. I feel very grateful that I have never wondered what I should do for a career.
You always thought what? That you should be a singer or an entertainer?
Both. I mean, I always wanted, my first dream was to be a pop star, with a thingy and dancing, and that's what I wanted to be. I mean, we grew up, there's this big argument about what is country music and we grew up in the 90s where it's the best music. Yeah, I heard somebody else say that and I was like, that makes so much sense to me. Boy band era, girl band era, best 90s country. So it's a mix of all the best music, I think. And that's why country music is bigger than ever, because it's reaching so many different audiences.
What did you just do? You just did a songwriting session at the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it was it was an album listening party early.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. Why didn't you come? Well, actually, I didn't invite you.
Because you didn't invite me.
I didn't actually. I'm sorry.
You didn't invite me.
I knew you'd be busy, though. And who'd want to go downtown on a Saturday?
But who came?
A lot
fans?
Of people. Yeah.
Fans.
It was sold out.
And wait, what did you do? You just played the record down?
Yeah. Well, no.
I did
8 songs. And one of my personal favorites on the record is Audience.
I'm so distraught over this song.
Why?
Because it's so sad. Isn't it sad? Is it a sad song? To me, this song is about someone who is craving the limelight and the audience.
No.
Is that not what it's about?
Zach,
I've got this wrong.
Yes.
What is this song about? What?
This song is all about different types of situations. So when Joey lost his mother, he got high all day. He didn't talk about it. Didn't have a lot to say.
No. I've got this. What's the first verse? Do I have this song mistaken with another one?
Maybe.
What's the first verse?
I'm singing it.
What?
I guess my broken heart sometimes needs an audience.
Yes, that's what I mean.
It's not about craving that. It's based on different people's situations and saying every broken heart needs an audience.
Needs an audience.
We all need a friend that we can talk to. And sometimes it makes all the difference. And then the last verse that you're talking about is, the show is nearly over, but the lights are going down. I sing this song about you, but you're not in the crowd. But I know you're up there listening on a cloud that heaven sent. I guess every broken heart sometimes needs an audience. I guess my broken heart sometimes needs an audience. So it's about that last verse is about my grandma. And I know that she's here. And it plays off all these different situations of people going through stuff.
That is a beautiful song.
Thank you.
This is a great record.
Thank you.
There's 22 songs on this record. Yeah. Wait, what were we saying about audience, though? Clearly, I totally
you totally missed that.
Misfangled the...
No, so I played...
That was what I was thinking about when I was listening to it, though.
Oh, well, I played that song. Isn't it funny how people hear songs and they, like, have a different meaning?
Yes.
What it's like. But that was real cute because I ended that song. That was the song that everybody was like, oh, my God, that's, like, that was amazing. And at the end, I was like, Country Music Hall of Fame, thanks for being my audience.
That's always a pro move. Always a pro move. You change a little lyric at the end there. Change a little lyric at the end there to bring it back home to where we're sitting right now.
Yeah. But can I just tell you?
Tell me something.
We're like done with a sad girl era. We're on to happy hour now.
Happy hour. I need happy 20.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy.
20 and I were once at dinner. We were at a Mexican restaurant in Nashville. And... And Twinny just noticed a girl on the far side of the bar.
I did, yeah.
No connection to anything.
No, none.
And says to me, come on, we're going to go ask that girl out.
No, because you were saying that she was cute.
Did I say that? Maybe,
yeah,
I might have said that.
You said she was cute.
Did I say that?
I was like, Zach, you are a handsome man. You are funny. I'm here to tell you.
Tell me more.
That I'm just here to boost your ego, Anna. I was like, you deserve somebody to love you, and you deserve, and like somebody deserves for you to love them.
Well, whatever. So we run. So we run out. Twinny jumps out of her seat. This girl's leaving. She's about to exit the restaurant. Twinny jumps up, races after her, and goes, "Oh my God, where did you get your jacket? I love your jacket." Now this girl's jacket.
Well, I needed a line.
You need a line.
I needed a line,
which I respect. This girl's jacket. She looked great. It was the most basic, generic looking jean jacket I've ever seen in my life.
It wasn't actually.
No,
and you actually said you liked it.
Well, yeah, of course I said I liked it because I was trying to get her number.
It wasn't denim anywhere.
No, what was it?
It wasn't. It was like a peachy color and had
fur. No, I remember it being denim-y, like being a denim jacket.
What was the girl's name?
No clue. This was a long time ago though. Do you remember what her name was?
Yeah. But I'm not going to say it.
No. You really remember her name?
Yeah. She's on my Instagram.
Oh, my God.
Because she was a writer, wasn't she? She was an illustrator for books.
Yes.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't remember her name.
I do. I'll tell you after. But point is,
I don't even think I got her number.
Like,
I get her number?
No.
Oh, my God. We need to figure this out.
No, you didn't.
I didn't, right?
No.
Oh, my God.
She kind of blew you off beforehand, didn't she?
I think she did.
Yeah. But the other
one. Did I get her Instagram?
The other girl that I set you up with.
Wait, you set me up with someone else?
Soho girl.
Oh.
I just keep setting you up with people.
Hold on. This is a good story, too.
Oh, gosh.
We were at Soho House sitting by the pool. And the waitress comes over. I haven't even spoken to the waitress. This is my recollection of the story. She comes over and Twinny says, I haven't spoken to Twinny. I haven't even seen this waitress yet. I don't know anything. Twinny just says, all right, Zach thinks you're cute. I think you think he's cute. You guys should go out on a date.
Like, no wasting time.
Which I love. That's so great. Other than the fact that it was like a little awkward, but that's so great.
But it was awkward for like 0.5 seconds. And I wouldn't have done it if you couldn't have handled it. But you were funny with it. And I was like, this is perfect. You'll find out straight away with her reaction.
Whether we have a shot or not.
There you go. It's done.
It didn't work out there. This is where I lose my confidence.
But you did go out on a date with her, right?
No.
Oh. But you tried to.
She
offered you a schedule and you couldn't make it happen.
This is why I can't. That was it.
I mean, I can just set you up on some dates if you want.
Twinny, your generosity is unmatched.
Hey, I'm here for you. I'm here for you.
I need someone. I need a Jamie Johnson. I need you to be my Jamie Johnson and
make your dreams come
and
true.
And make my dreams
sing
come
at the Opry.
I want to host the Opry.
You can do that. I don't think that's far out of reach.
I think I should be able to do that, right?
I think you could. Yeah, I think you absolutely could.
I got to call Jamie Johnson.
You got to call Dan.
Opry Dan.
Opry Dan. Call him. Let's make it happen.
I should call Opry Dan.
Manifest it. And then when you do, make sure you have me on the bill.
You'll be there. Twinny is on the podcast.
I am.
She has a new album coming out on Friday. By the time you listen to this, the album is already going to be out. The album is called Something We Used to Say, which is a beautiful song, too. That song, let me see if I can get the plot of that song, okay? That song is about you used to tell each other that you loved each other.
Mm-hmm.
And now maybe not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that song is about. Did I get that one right?
Yeah. I remember the day when I love you became something we used to say.
That's a beautiful song too.
Thank you.
These are great. This is a great record. I was blown away by this record. Hypothetically, to me, kind of sounds like the 1975 a little bit.
Ah!
With like a little bit of a country
tie-in. I love that.
But don't you think that that verse kind of has that like guitar kind of bounciness? Like,
I love that song. I really love that song. It makes me feel happy. It makes me feel like, I don't know. I think I'm blushing again because of, I don't know. It just makes me feel like I'm dating somebody.
Are you seeing anyone right now, or what's going on?
No comment.
20's got no comment. We all know what that means. 20 on the podcast. Listen.
Can't ask me that. I try and keep my private life private. No,
why?
No, that's
a public,
lie.
You're a
that
public
figure.
That
is a lie. I don't. I tell everybody everything. Yes. Yeah, I am seeing someone.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How'd you meet him?
Just out at a bar through mutual friends.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I hate putting that out there because I feel like when you put that out there, like people like try and ruin it. So
Who's trying to ruin it?
No, I just mean like, I don't know. I just don't like social media for like dating. But maybe, do you know what? Maybe we'll do a hard launch and then everybody will know it.
Yeah. Hard launch.
Listen,
I was up late last night watching the election coverage, so I'm a little bit foggy right now.
Oh,
in my
I'm
interview
sorry.
With 20. But 20, listen.
Have I made you feel better though?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. You have.
I've got jokes.
Have I made you feel any better or no?
Yeah.
A little bit?
Yeah. I love talking to you. You are an energy uplifter.
20, I love you, okay? And I think you're a great talent.
Thank you.
And people love you too. People love you in this town.
Aww.
And this town is better with you in it. It is more, I'm serious. Because you're just vibrant and the music is great. I was listening, here's the thing. This record's not out. So I don't want people to think I like haven't prepared. You sent me the link to this record this morning.
Uh-huh.
So I was in the fucking like backstage link or whatever, listening to this record all morning. There's 22 songs on this record. It's a lot to take in a single morning. It's like, I can't process that much information in a couple hours.
Why are you making me emotional? I was already crying. That was really nice what you said about me. Thanks.
This record really excited me. I said, oh, this is a good record. And I really feel that way.
Thanks.
Ask my producer over here. I'm in here all the time with people. I don't always like people's records. I don't always say stuff's good.
Thanks.
This record's really good.
Thanks.
And I think that's going to be out by the time people listen to it. And
now you've had me crying. Because you were nice to me.
All right, pull yourself together. Come
and
on.
You're
this
not
is
normally
too much.
Nice to me.
This is too much, Twee. Come on. I'm not normally nice to you.
I'm an ugly
what
crier.
What are you talking about? I am the nicest person. When have I ever not been nice to you?
When you ignore me.
No.
I'm only joking. You don't. You're always lovely.
I was ignoring you for a minute.
You wasn't ignoring me.
But not intentionally. I wasn't ignoring you. I just wasn't texting you back. But it wasn't because I was ignoring you. I was just going through a very busy period of
it's
time.
It's all right. I totally get it. I do that to people. Sometimes.
But
I always follow up. I love how I would text you and I was like, listen, just following up on this. By the way, if you see me in person, this is going to be really awkward if you don't reply.
I think that's what got me to respond to the text was that text. I was like, oh shit, she's right. I'm going to see her out at a bar.
And I did see you. I saw you at the festival.
Thank God I texted you back before because I think I literally saw you that day.
Yeah, you did.
Oh my God!
Where did I see you?
At Breakaway.
At Breakaway. And it was, me and you were like, "Why are we here?" But it was actually kind of it was great.
No, I had fun.
I really had fun. But it was just like seeing you in that crowd, and it was like,
"Well, this was like an EDM festival. Everybody's wearing no clothing. I'm showing up in like a hoodie and like, you know." That's not my scene. I don't fit into that scene.
Me neither.
But that was fun. Yeah.
He was with me that night.
Let me tell you something funny about that night. I think that night, my friend Dawson was he was trying to go after someone, and she was really sweet, and he was buying her drinks all night, and we were going from destinations, and I gave her a ride somewhere, and this girl was so sweet, and she was so nice, and she was taking Dawson's drinks, and at the end of the night, towards the end of the night, she said something, and Dawson said, well, only if I can get your phone number, and she goes, just so you know, I have a boyfriend. And Dawson goes, what? And she holds up her phone and there's a screensaver of her and her boyfriend on the phone. Wow. And I was like,
you can't take drinks off people if you've got a boyfriend.
But I was like, I don't even think this girl's boyfriend would be comfortable knowing she was hanging out with this guy all night. People are crazy in the world.
No, they are.
They are nuts.
I'm like, if you're hanging out with me, you're not hanging out with any other girl. I'm sorry.
No.
I can't do that. Also, I had one of the best conversations of my life with Dawson at Key West.
Are you serious?
I'm not even joking.
Over what?
It was just like, yeah, I think you'll find somebody. I think you'll find somebody. Isn't love, like, it's real fascinating. We're talking about, like, quantum entanglement and, like, soul ties and that. We got real deep over pizza. We were both obviously intoxicated, but I love that guy. Great guy.
I think he's...
We have great friends. We have a good group of people. Ava, she's amazing.
Ava's amazing, too.
She's moving to London.
I know.
Well, I know. Which will be great for me.
Is it?
How
often
are you
back and forth?
I've been doing quite a lot recently because of this TV show.
What's the TV show?
It's called Emmerdale. It's like an iconic.
Is this going to be big?
British.
Or is it big?
Oh, I'll show you some. It's cool.
Yeah, let me see.
I play a baddie in it.
Twinnie's on Netflix, too. She's done a couple movies on Netflix. The Wife with Glenn Close.
Mm-hmm.
Great film.
That was really good. I loved Christian Slater as well.
Great
and
film.
She was just like amazing to watch her acting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've lost my trail of thought. Album's out.
Here's the point. By the time you listen to this, my lovely audience, the album is going to be out. And you should check it out. Spotify Twinnie. Yeah.
TwinnieE.
Twinnie.
You didn't know what to spell by name.
That's okay.
That's funny.
Twinnie's out now and she's in Nashville. And you can follow her on Instagram.
Follow me everywhere.
And you
not
can
in
listen
person.
To her sing. She's got a great voice. She knows she's doing something right.
Thank you.
She knows what she's doing. And we all need someone like Jamie Johnson in our life.
You're obsessed with Jamie Johnson.
I just can't.
Should I just try and get him on the phone?
No. Should we? No.
Shall we?
Should we? No. It was a
year anniversary since my Opry debut.
Really?
Yeah. Yesterday.
Have you gone back and done it? Or
no, not yet.
We got to get you back there.
I know.
Okay, let's talk. Let's call Dan.
No.
Not now, but just I think
it'll happen
I need to host.
When it'll happen when
it's
going to happen.
I'm not worried about it. Do I seem worried about it? I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it.
Amazing guy, though.
I love Opry Dan. He's so great.
All that team is amazing.
Oh, my God. They're the best. Every time I see him, he goes, anytime you want to come to the Opry, let me know. I never take him up on it.
You should.
I know. I should.
Should we go tonight?
Should we go tonight? What's tonight? It's Wednesday.
No, I can't. I'm doing a show tonight with Emily West.
I'm going to see something. I have a show, too. Should we go this weekend?
Maybe, yeah.
We should, I think.
Have I been a good co-host?
First of all, you're my guest. You're not my co-host. But you've been a great...
I love how we just shot down
you've
there.
Been,
that's what I meant,
You've
Zach.
Been an amazing guest, Twinnie, and I appreciate your honesty that you have brought to the conversation. I'm serious. I'm in a daze today because I was up all night watching the election... Today I'm not in a good mood, and Twinnie really she lined me up a little bit. So and the record did too. I was listening to the record. And I was like, oh, this is good. This is a great record.
Thank you. Do you honestly mean that?
Yeah, I do. Nice. Here's what I honestly think. Okay, I don't know why I think so much production that comes out these days doesn't sound great. It sounds muddy and like compressed. And this record I thought sounded really good, and the song that I kept listening to the most was Hypothetical, because that was so
hypothetically.
Catchy. Hypothetically. I got this album link 2 hours ago, right. People.
By the way, shout out to Tony High, who mixed the whole album, and Pierce Johnson, who mastered it. They were incredible.
Okay, but Hypothetically was the one where, for me, this is first listen. I could listen back and it could change, but for me, Hypothetically was the one that I listened to, and I said, oh, I got to hear that again. And I played it a couple times, and then I wanted to see you singing it. So I was like, there's got to be a music video for this. So I YouTubed the song. Sure enough, you're on the hood of a car singing it. You look great. You're driving down streets. And I might listen to it when I get in my car right now. That was a great song. And then I started listening to some of the other songs. And there's some real depth on the album. Hypothetically is a fun song.
Mm-hmm.
It's clever. But then some of these songs have a lot of lyrical depth. I thought the lyrics were really intentional. And I was impressed by it, Twinnie, because I didn't know what this record was going to be like. But
do you think it was going to be shit?
No, I didn't think it would be shit at all. But I didn't think I would like it as much as I liked it.
Good. good.
Yeah, I really liked it.
I hope I pleasantly surprise people.
Yeah, it was great.
Good. All right. Well, it comes from the heart anyway, so it'll do what it'll do.
That's all you can do. I think you should be proud of this. 22 songs.
I am so...
It's 22 songs.
22. It's 22.
It's 22.
I'm so proud of this album because this marks a chapter in my life where it was like the darkest period. It took me from the darkest period to now like getting to the other side of all that stuff. That is amazing. This record
helped. We needed this album.
I needed this
album. Twinny needed this
album.
Forget the audience.
No,
this isn't about
this album.
Twinny needed the album.
I did. I went through a lot and it really shaped me and I've grown and evolved. And do you know what's cool about music is that as an artist, you can never appreciate your own music the way a listener can. So my stuff could be playing in a home in Alabama or like in England, and I will never ever know the effect that that is having on that person. It might put them in a great mood, might put them in a sad mood, might help them heal them, whatever. And I think that's what's the magic about music. And you know, we all hope to like have a number one song and it go like crazy and it gives you the life that you've always dreamed of and arenas and stuff. But for me, what has like been very reassuring is that great music doesn't have an expiry date. So just, you know, you could have a sync and it will change your whole life. And like music business kind of reminds me of life because it's like up and down like a roller coaster. And I'm just so pleased that this chapter is like, I've just tied it with a bow and it will be there forever and people will really get to know me and that's cool. And now we're on to Happy Hour and I can't wait for like the new
Happy Hour.
Yeah. I can't wait for this chapter. And even in my personal life, what's happening, like I do feel like there's been an energetic shift and I'm done chasing people. Like I'm done chasing people in the industry to give me attention or to give me a shot. Or even personally, like, I'm just not chasing anymore. I'm like, I'm good with me. I really like me. So I'm going to make the best music I can, and it'll find its audience wherever that lands, you know?
Twinny, well said. We love you, and we're going to listen to this album.
I love you, too. Thank you for having me.
We're running out of time. Twinny on the podcast. Check her out. I think you're all going to like her.
And I'll have better hair next time you see me.
No, I thought the hair looked great.
No, it's awful.
All right, we're done. 20, thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Woo!
We got it.
I don't look that bad, actually.